If you have your Bibles, you can open them up wherever you want, but I'm going to start in John 16, all right? So if you want to turn there. A couple weeks ago, we did a funeral for Teo, and you know, it was the first time, there was a first for me, as far as Miss Yetta had asked me to do a, to give an altar call at the gravesite, and that was the first time I'd ever done that. I've done it in the funeral parlors and stuff, or here at church when we've had celebration services here, but I'd never done one at the graveyard. Can I tell you, it was incredible. It was one of the most wonderful, I thought about it, I'm like, I've never done this before. And it's a year of first, right? God's opening doors for each and every one of us, amen? Right, just tell your neighbor, say, God's opening doors in 24 for you. See, these are doors that you haven't walked through before. These are things that you haven't done before, and it's places that God wants to bring you into other people's lives. Amen? And there's going to be firsts for you. We had a little staycation last week with our family. It was incredible having all my kids and their wives and husbands and the 11 grandbabies and everybody together. And it was just beautiful, you know. And Thursday night, my wife lied to me. She did a lot of times. She's good at it. You know why she's good? Because she never lies. So I always take her word. So we were over, we were bowling and stuff, and taking the young ones and the older ones. We were having a good time, and she said, honey, we got to stop by Boca de Pepo or Boca de Bebo. How? We were in Boca Raton, or we were in Budapest. I'm not sure where we were, but she said, we got to go over there, and we got to get a gift certificate, and I just want to get one for this person. And I'm like, you said we're going to have potato and bacon soup when we get home, and it's 5:30. These kids ain't going to eat till 8 o'clock. We got to get out of here. She said, honey, I just want to do this. Plus, she said, your own Michael went to Buca de Pepo, and he left the baby's bottle there 3 nights ago. We got to get that. I'm like, okay, whatever. So we drive over to there from the mall, and I'm out in the car, and I'm just looking at vehicles on my phone. And she goes in to get the gift card, and then she calls me, and she said, you got to come in here and get me. I threw my back out. And I'm like, oh, shoot. Because my back was bothering me, and I'm like, this isn't going to be good. So I get out of the car, I go in, the maitre d' is there. I said, my wife blew her back out. He said, yes, sir, right down here to the left. And I'm like, I come marching down, and they're all in the room and said, surprise! And I'm like, you lie. She did. But to have them all there, because my birthday was last month, so they just did it then when the whole family was home, and it was just a beautiful time. But you know, before we left, Alex, he was our waiter. Oh, I'm sorry, Tom was our waiter. And Tom comes out, and I said, Tom, you know the most important decision you're going to make in life? And he said, who I'm going to be with? I said, no, you're God. He said, oh, you mean my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I was like, yes, you got it, Tom. You nailed it. And so by the time we got down, he just got to witness to him and encourage him a lot. He was from Brooklyn originally. And then we got to pray for him before we left. It was just a powerful time. Can I tell you, no matter where you go, you have an opportunity to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Doesn't matter who it is. You know, every waiter or waitress is going to listen if they want a tip. And if they listen, oh, they get a good one, right? They blow me off, they get one. But we always want to take care of those that serve us, and it always is an opportunity to share Jesus Christ with them. And, you know, yesterday we had a men's breakfast, and David Blackstone, a young man who used to be in our youth group, he came down and shared for those that missed it. Amazing. Now he's married with a couple of kids, but he was raised in a Christian home. His father was a pastor, front seat every week, was in private school right up until he hit 14 or 15, and then said, Dad, I want to go to public school because I want to play basketball. I'm good at it, and I want to go play. I'll be all right. That was at 14. By the time he hit 15, he was one of those kids that they said, your parents said, he's not allowed in our home, and you're not allowed to go near him. 1 year, just because it showed the weakness of the character. Right? And so then by the time, I forget how old he was, but he was ended up with 6 felonies, 3 DWIs, by the time he was in his 20s, and in jail, sitting there waiting. He had 2 different, I don't know what they're called, Jay, when they're going to try you for 2 things or whatever. He had one was 15 to 25 years. The other one was 25 to life. That's what they were giving him. He was only in his 20s at the time. And God met him in his jail cell. And miraculously, God let him out. But before God let him out, he started crying out. And 50 men got saved. He wasn't even walking with the Lord. Nothing. But God brought him back. 50 guys got saved. They watched one guy that was blind. His eyes, he was healed. I forget what the other miracles were, Lan, you remember? There were several other miracles that they had in the jail. Huh? Oh, one guy, yeah, he couldn't walk. And they prayed for him. One guy, he was so bad in the jail, they wouldn't even let him out of his cell. And so they were going around praying for guys, and he's in his cell, and he said he was a Spanish guy. And he said, I'm still standing. I'm still standing. He keeps yelling in his cell, waiting for them to come over, and they brought glasses of water, and they baptized him with water, with cups of water, because he couldn't come out of his cell. So, you know, the beautiful part of it is that God is a redeemer. Amen? You hate that they had to go down in that pit. And unfortunately, you know why we go into the pit? It's because our character is weak. It's because our understanding is weak, and it's because we blame somebody else. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm done blaming you. Right. I'm all done. Tell your other neighbor, don't even try it. Right, because you don't even know some people in here. But the reality is, we've got to get to a point when we walk in the Word of God that the Word is enough. His love is enough. The power of the Holy Ghost is enough to sustain us through it all. And I just want to encourage you in that. You know, if there's something that looks impossible in your life, he can beat it. The Holy Spirit can beat it. He's no match. The enemy is no match for the Holy Ghost. He's been whooped like a dog, drugged through the streets and made a mockery of. Don't fear him. He has no authority over you. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm mighty. That's what the Word says, right? We're only telling you to say what the Word says. Because if you say what the Word says, eventually you're going to start to believe it. Amen? You've said what the world said, and you believe that lie long enough, haven't we? Right? You believe what somebody else said. You loser, you failure, you'll never amount to anything. You can't do that. God will never use you. Don't even think about it. You're nothing but this or that. Whatever they said, you believed the lie, and it hindered what God could do through you. But God wants to change all of that. He's a good God, amen? Nothing's impossible. You're an overcomer. You are free. It's time for you to let it go and then to walk it out. You know, the testimony, the sad part is what he had to walk through. The beautiful part is the redemption. And I want you to know that everyone that has named the name of Jesus Christ, you have been redeemed. It's past tense. So stop thinking like an unredeemed soul. Every thought that you have has to line up with what he said. And if it doesn't, spit it out. Gotta. Don't spit it out your mouth. Oh, yeah, I know I'm this. No, spit it out and stop saying it over every situation in your life. You know, we've been talking about, I just wanted to share those couple of things, but we've been talking about building bridges, right? And we said in the Garden of Eden, God built the first bridge. He created the heavens and the earth, and then he stepped down out of eternity and walked with Adam in the cool of the day. Excuse me, and then when the children of Israel, when they stumbled and they fell, then God built a tabernacle in the desert, and he came down and he spent time with his family, with his children, and they all gathered around that tabernacle. And then we said Jesus came, and he was the ultimate bridge to the Father, and his blood was enough to wash away all of our sins. We all remember that, right? All right. So we know that that bridge was built all the way to the Father. And then God sent his Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I don't know about you, but it's one of the funnest, most exciting, most powerful topics we could ever talk about. And most churches won't even mention it hardly. They're afraid to. You're not going to talk about speaking in tongues, are you, brother? Yep. You're not talking about getting baptized in the Holy Ghost? Yep. Because it's in there. And if it's in there, I want it. And if you're afraid of it, you know who's telling you to be afraid of what the Word of God says. Right? But when we dig into it, oh, he's amazing. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit, he's the one that builds a bridge to breakthrough and to resurrection. You want a breakthrough? He's the one you want to follow. Didn't the Bible say that he's a guide? And he's going to guide you into all truth? Is he not God? Is it not the person of God, the Holy Ghost, that lives on the inside of us? And he said it's a gift that he wants to give to each and every one that believes, and all we have to do is what? Ask. How wonderful. How many gifts have your children asked for? I mean just today, all right? Just today. They've asked for so many gifts, and we listen to them. The Bible says that when we ask him for the Holy Ghost, and he gives it to us, and I want you to know, whatever's going on in your life, he is the biggest bridge builder you'll ever need. Every busted relationship, he can build a bridge to. Every single one. I don't care how bad the relationship is, he is a miracle-working God. Amen? He is one as a restorer, repairer, rebuilder. That's what the Holy Spirit can do. In John 16, 13, we're going to start there. So if you have your Bibles open up there, and we're going to read from the NASB. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes. Has he come? That's right. He will guide you into all what? Truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative. Oh, if we could grab that one. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm tired of you speaking on your own initiative. How many times have we spoken things that are outside the word in a situation that we should have? Did you ever have thoughts that should have stayed in your head? Yep. All you got to do is look at your neighbor and just nod. They'll know. But he would not speak. He will not. He made a decision not to speak on his own initiative. It says, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Where does he hear from? He hears from the Father. He hears from eternity. The only thing he's going to speak is what he hears. It says he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. In verse 14, it says, and he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So everything that Jesus had, is there anything lacking in Jesus? Absolutely not. Where is he seated? The right hand of the Father, right? The right hand, meaning all authority and power is given to Jesus Christ. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus said, I and the Father are what? One. Me and him are one. So all the power and authority he has, I have. And everything that the Holy Spirit has is from us. And he takes from me and he wants to give it to you. And so many in the church say, I don't want it. It's too scary. Isn't that amazing? God said the greatest gift that man could ever receive from him outside of salvation would be the power of the Holy Ghost in order to walk out the same thing that Jesus did, right? He was water baptized. And on the day of his baptism, it said the Spirit of God came down like a dove. And at that moment, his ministry started. And from that point forward, everywhere he went, how many got healed? All. Because of the power of the Holy Ghost in him. So the Holy Spirit is a bridge builder from the soul realm to the supernatural realm. The church has been walking in the soul realm. How easy is it to walk according to a bunch of laws? Right? Just come in. I do my deed. I go to church on Sunday. I'm in good response with God or in good relationship with God. I've done my religious duty. Oh, heaven forbid that becomes us. Heaven forbid, coming to Sunday fulfills your obligation for the hour and a half a week, or I do this for an hour and a half a week, and then walk out and say, I've done my deed. God, you should be blessed. I sang a couple of songs under my breath. Some of you know who I'm talking about. I don't sit next to you, and I can't hear anything because I sing really loud, so I don't know who's singing and who's not. And see, that's not the issue, because the issue is that's between you and the Father, amen? Because when you're free, you can sing. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a singer. See, that means you're free. If you don't sing, then the person sitting next to you is is greater than God. In your mind, because you fear them rather than him. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because you see, when I walk into the room here, I love everybody in here. I'm not afraid of you. Even though some of you are scary. Just being honest, all right? But I'm not afraid if you hear me singing. Was it last week, Bren, that I tried to start a song? That went bad, didn't it? That was real bad. Even afterwards, my wife said, honey, I didn't have a clue what to do. I didn't know how to salvage that moment when you tried to start that song. She said, and there sat Catherine. She didn't know what to do either. You're on the wrong note. You're in the wrong key. So what did I do? I cried out, help me, Catherine. Listen, when you get outside of your calling, that's what happens. This is why my wife leads worship. All right? But I didn't care. I know we were supposed to go back into that song, so I'll give it a shot. Amen. I'll give it a shot. Thank you, honey. But can I encourage you? When the Holy Spirit nudges you, would you take the shot? When you're in a restaurant and he says, hey, pray for this person, would you take the shot? Doesn't matter what you sound like, it's what happens, it's what he does with what you do. Because he takes something that could be a mess. And eventually these guys got it worked out. And my wife said, keep preaching. I said, I will, keep singing. And we work well together. But I'm not really worried about anybody's opinion about how I sing. Right? I'm not really worried about that. You want me to start another one? I'll start another one right now. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. No, that's not one, right? No. Because man's opinion doesn't mean anything. When the love of the Father consumes us, all I want to do is give him glory. He's the one that gave me this voice. So he better like the way I sing. Or he can change my voice anytime he wants. But because he's kept it the same, it's only an act of obedience that God's looking for. He's not looking for perfection. Amen? Tell your neighbor, say, you don't have to be perfect. You have to be obedient. That's the key. That's the key. All right. Because, you see, in order to go from the natural realm to the spiritual realm, you're going to have to step out in something you're not good at. You're going to have to step into something you don't know what's going to happen. You know, I remember the first mission trip that I led. It was incredible. It was incredible. It was incredibly fearful. I remember the thoughts that went through my head. I was petrified. I had a whole team of people, and Pastor Fink got off in Zimbabwe and said, I'll see you in Zambia. I'd never been to Zambia. I got somebody else's kids. 21 of them. I don't know where we're going. I don't know the people we're staying with. I don't know how we're getting from the airport to there. We get there, the bus doesn't show up. Great. Nothing goes according to plan. My plan. Get ready. God's not going to go according to your plan. Because what he does is he stretches us. What he does is he puts us in situations where you're not in control. Bunch of control freaks. Oh, yeah, you know it's you. The scripture says that he will not speak on his own initiative. We do not have the freedom to speak on our own initiative as a child of God if we're going to reach all that he has promised us. We're going to have to say the same thing he says. Amen? Can I tell you, the First Amendment doesn't work in the kingdom of God. It works here in America, but it does not work in the kingdom of God. You do not have the freedom to say whatever you think. That is a misnomer in America, and that is destroying the church. Because you have people coming into the church, who you think you are, Pastor? I'll say what I think. Heavens, no! That's why you're in the position you're in. How about we say what the word says? Amen. You see, that's where submission, that's where we die, and that's where we lay our lives down. Now, in America, you've got a freedom to speak and to say what you want. But when we come into the kingdom of God, that takes a back seat to say what he said. The Holy Spirit didn't take his own initiative. He took what the word of what the Father spoke in eternity and what Jesus spoke and did on the earth. And then he's replicating that in us so that we become the exact representation of Jesus Christ on the earth so that others would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing in each and every one of us. He tells us of what is coming. You know, he's the one that the Lord sent to bring to himself. Continually, it is through the blood of Jesus that we're redeemed, and it's through the Spirit that we walk in power. And there's a spirit that teaches us to go back to the Father, regardless of how many times we fall, regardless of our thoughts, regardless of the words of man, regardless of how long you have been running away. If you've been running away, please turn around. If you've been holding back, please let go. If you have been afraid, please let go of that spirit and let it be. Release it from you. It's not one that he gave you. So many times people walk in and out of places. I've got a guy over in Lowe's, and one night I was walking around, and he's working there, and I get talking to him. Every time I go into Lowe's now, I plan an extra 15 minutes, and I walk around the store, and I find him, and I speak the word of God to him. Why? That's God's plan. And I know every time I speak to him, he hasn't come to church yet, but he's gonna. He can't stay out. It's impossible, because I am gonna love him in so many wonderful ways that he's bound to like one of them. And maybe I'll offer him like a free lunch afterwards, right? And we'll go down to a cafe, I'll give him a bagel. It doesn't take much to get people in sometimes, you know? Something free, that's for me. But every time I go in, I plan for an extra 15 minutes. What's the plan that God has given you through the Holy Ghost for someone this week? What's the plan? Because it's not our own initiative. What's God's initiative? That how many perish? None. Right. So then who are you the answer for? Not everyone, but some. Amen? So he's got a plan and a purpose for people that you're going to meet this week. And there's no doubt, can I tell you, when you're faithful with one, God gives you more. That's how it works. Why would he give you more if you're not faithful with one? Right? You know, no different than some people. God only gives you what you can handle, the scripture says, right? Some people complain about the finances, but sometimes the character is weak and they can't have more because it'll destroy them. Right? It's the same thing with the anointing. Some people cry out for a stronger anointing, stronger anointing, stronger anointing, and they don't understand why it's not coming. There's some issues that God is working on and strengthening, because the anointing will destroy you. Because pride will come. You'll puff yourself up. You'll think it's you. Now, you never say it's not you. No, it's the Christ in you. It's the power of the Holy Ghost in you. The Holy Ghost always reminds us what's available. Remember during COVID, you go into the store, you didn't know what was going to be available. Couldn't even find toilet paper. Remember people were stealing tractor trailer loads of toilet paper? Why'd they do that? Because of a thought. They heard, there isn't any. People... 20 cases at a time, they got strapped to the top of their car. They're finally driving to different states trying to find boxes of it and bring it home. And then some guys got busted because they stole it and got caught with a tractor trailer load. How long is that going to last you? Good golly, right? But what happened? Because of a thought, because of a fear, people just started running crazy. Can I tell you? That's what the devil always does. The devil puts a thought in your head and you start to run scared because maybe you don't have. God says, hey, pray for this one. And you say, oh, I don't know what if I have what it takes. The Holy Spirit says, no. You just pray. I don't know how to pray just right. Just pray. Yeah, but what if I say something wrong? Just pray! I don't know about you, but sometimes I need the Holy Spirit being that loud in my head. Just do it. Because God wants to transform other people's lives. It's not just about you, amen? But the Holy Spirit lets us know what's available in Christ. And what he does is he constantly reminds us. Every time we fail, he said, wait a minute, there's redemption. Right? Every time we make a mistake, wait a minute, there's forgiveness. Every single time, no matter what happens, he reminds us what is available for us every single day. We always look at the lack. He says, every shelf in here is full. It's full of mercy, whole grace of mercy. It's brand new every morning. Four rows of grace. Because it goes from grace to grace, the scripture says, right? There's four shelffuls of grace for you. Yeah, but I made a mistake. Yes, but there's grace for that. Step out and try it again. Walk in righteousness. Step out and try it again. Say what the word says. Say what the, do what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, because he's building a bridge. You see, he builds a bridge every time. We burn bridges, don't we? Yeah. How many bridges have you burned only in your mind? How many times did things go wrong with some other couple, some other person, and you said, that's over. We're done with them, honey. Don't even call them. It's your family. Don't care. How many times have we burned bridges and we said, we're not going back there? And the Holy Spirit says, hang on a second. He's behind us and he's nudging us and he's building a bridge again. And then he's leading us across that bridge. He said, look, we've got to keep building. We've got to keep growing. Because your strength is not in you, it's in the Lord. And he's going to keep building a bridge. You see, what his job is to teach us to build a bridge for those that don't even know. Those that have never heard Jesus Christ. He's teaching us to be bridge builders. Have you ever gone to someone and said, hey, it's time that you went and forgave that person so you can be set free? Did you ever share that? That's what the Holy Ghost does. He said, hey, in order for you to be free, you're going to have to climb over this bridge, and that is a bridge of forgiveness. And that's what the Holy Spirit says. Don't get stuck on this side. There's something greater on the other side. It's connecting us to another place of freedom that we've never experienced before. And this is what the Holy Ghost wants to do continually. In Isaiah 4:10, it says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Are you anxious today? Stop being anxious. The only time I get anxious is when I don't trust him, when I look at my own strength. But he said, I'll strengthen you. Surely I will help you. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I want you to know God's here to help. I don't know where you're at in the plan that God has. Maybe you're in the beginning. God's got enough help. He's sending help your way to establish, to reestablish, to heal, to strengthen. Whatever the need is, wherever you're at in your walk with the Lord, this is where God has you, and this is what he's preparing. He's building that bridge, and the Holy Spirit is saying, come on, follow me. I want to show you how Jesus did it on the earth. I want to teach you how to speak. And he usually comes inside of your brain and says, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, please don't say it. And then you do anyway. And then it causes problems. And the Holy Spirit said, don't worry, there's grace for that. And the next day you'll get in a situation, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. And you bite your tongue and you're gnawing on that thing and the blood's running everywhere, and then you still say it again. And the Holy Spirit said, there's grace for that. And then eventually you don't have any tongue left and you won't say it. Sometimes that's what it comes down to. Isaiah 26:3, it said, the steadfast of mind will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. So the steadfast of mind is going to bring perfect peace. If your mind is all over the place and you're thinking about everybody else in this room, everybody else in your life, everybody else on the job, then you're not going to walk in perfect peace. But when we put our mind on him and we think about him and all of the promises that he spoke over our lives, then freedom comes. In Isaiah 26:4, it says, trust in the Lord. How long? Forever. For in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. You know, my friend had a heart attack a little while back, and he's doing really well. He had a four-way bypass. And he's about a year younger than I am. Great shape, all of that stuff. It was just a hereditary thing. And I said, what were your thoughts? You know, when you were laying there in the hospital and they said, one doctor said, if we don't operate within 24 hours, you're going to die. The other doctor said, if we operate before 24 hours, you're going to die. Who do you believe? One or death angel number one or death angel number two? Who are you going to believe? And so they believed the second guy that said, we got to get that heart stronger, and they waited. And I said, what was going through your mind? He said, nothing that has to do with this world. Everything I owned meant nothing to me. I wanted my family close, and the one thing he kept saying to his wife, I don't want to leave you and the kids. It's the only thought. And how many know we spend a lot of time chasing stuff that doesn't matter? We spend a lot of time building things that disappear. Here he was, and they said, you could die. The only thought he had were those that were close to him. And everything that he built, he said, it meant absolutely nothing to me. I could care less where we lived, what anything looked like, what kind of car I was in. I just wanted my family with me. You see, and this is what happens when we start to look at what God is building, because God's not interested in all the things that we possess, but he's interested in the souls of men and women that we bump into every single day. Amen? Isaiah 41:13, it says, for I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. How many believe that God's going to help you, right? Do you really believe that in your situation, there's your situation, something so special, so dire, so extreme, that even God can't help you? Now, we know that that's not true. We know that he can, but we proclaim that he can't. A lot of times when we open our mouths, classic beginning, you don't understand. Isn't that amazing? That's how we start it. Great act of faith. Yeah, but you don't understand what I'm going through. I don't have to. That's not my job, understanding you. 10 people couldn't understand you, couldn't figure you out. 36 years, I'm trying to figure out one person. I guess I'm doing all right. All right? I don't want to try to figure out everybody else. Here's what I figured out. The Word of God is true. The power of the Holy Ghost is more than enough. The love of God brought me to a place of repentance. The power of God is going to manifest itself when I obey what his word says and I step out in truth. 1 John 4:17, it says, by this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. So also are we. As he is, so are we. And we know this scripture by heart. We've memorized this scripture. But when you were born again, you received the right spirit. You did not receive a baby spirit. You did not receive some infant spirit that has to grow. Your spirit is ready to meet the Father. The spirit that you got on the inside of you is full grown. Nothing lacking in you, according to the word. It is ready to meet the Lord, and it's ready to do whatever the Father said. And it already acknowledged you have a right spirit, therefore there's nothing lacking in you. Amen? You have a right spirit. You have a right spirit. You have a right spirit. You're not trying to work on your spirit. The Spirit of God is trying to get you to obey that and not walk in the flesh. Your flesh overpowers it. But I want you to know, your spirit has full power. It's prepared to do the will of the Father. Think about it. One third of you is a right spirit. We're made of a body, soul, and spirit. One third of you wants to do it all right. The other two thirds are just beating them down. Tell them, hold your tongue. Hey, be careful. Let's not get too fanatical. Let's not get too spiritual. Let's not get too crazy. Let's not believe for the miraculous. Every salvation is the greatest miracle there ever was. Amen? But it's time that we started acknowledging the power of the Holy Spirit, listening to him, and then walking out what he's got for us. This is about getting our minds to agree with what the Lord has already supplied. Psalms 91:1-2. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Right? There's two words there. Where you dwell and what you say. Where do you dwell when things don't go right? Do you dive down into the cesspool, or do you still dwell at the right hand of the Father? Because as he is, so are we, right? And we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. So where do you dwell when things don't go right? Where do you dwell when things do go right? Can I tell you, success is much tougher sometimes than problems. Because people walk away from the Lord with great success. They stop spending time with him. The very thing that got them there, they back away from. The Holy Spirit reminds us to dwell, not stopping on a Sunday, not a vacation once a year, but to say consistently or continually, the Lord is. And who is that? You know, a lot of times we put more faith in the doctor than with the Lord, than the Lord. It's not popular, but it's true. I was listening to one preacher a while ago, and he told these people at a conference, he told them, he said, don't raise your hand. He said, but how many of you here are taking medicine every week? And he said, that's because you don't believe in all the word has to say. He said, I know it's not going to be popular, and I know it's not going to make you guys happy. He said, but I haven't been sick in, I don't know, 30 years or whatever. And he said, because we put faith, and he went so far to tell his people, and he said, hey, listen, I've been to the pharmacy, and there was bags lined up of all these medicines. He said, $1,000 for some medicines each week. He said, start believing God and standing on the word of God. Start giving that money to the ministry so we can build the kingdom. I said, oh, man. He said, look, maybe that's not for you, but that's where I'm at in my faith. And he hadn't been sick in over 35 years. Not even an aspirin. Another brother, he was another one. He believed in God, and he was never took an aspirin for 38 years. And he was just trusting God. He said, no, the power of God's word is true. And some people think, that's way too fanatical, brother. You're getting way out. But we have to go where the word of God takes us. See how quiet it gets? I know. But are we willing to take salvation to the fullest? That you truly are free indeed? Or does somebody else still have control over you? A thought, a lie, something like that. Or is the word of God true? How many did Jesus heal? All. He said, what did Peter and John say to the person that was lame? Silver and gold have I? None. But such as I have. Do you have power? Do you have authority? Are your hands made for healing? Absolutely, according to the word. And what did he say? They didn't even pray for the guy. Isn't that amazing? They just said, rise up and walk. That's all they told him. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he said, as he is, so are you. So these guys are a type of, they were showing us what happens when someone sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Exodus 23:25. It says, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. That's good news, isn't it? That's what the word, I'm only telling you what the word says. You know, in Hebrew, the only translation for those words, take and away, it means to turn off. See, so according to the word of God, we can turn off sickness. Isn't that good news? Yeah. Man, I like turning that off. We have to change the way we live also, what we eat, and we got to be careful about that. But we can actually turn off sickness in our lives. I told you, we're building bridges. This is a bridge that not many want to walk across. This is one that they shy away from and say, well, brother, I think you're just going a little bit too far. I don't think we've gone far enough. Because you see, when the world sees the power of God manifested in the church, guess what happens? They made fun of the Lord. They made fun and killed all the disciples. They were all martyred. They'll make fun of you. But I don't know about you, but I'm going to walk in that freedom that God promised me and gave me. And I want everything that God promised living through my life. The Holy Spirit is the bridge builder. He's the one who helps leads us to those that the Lord has already called. Acts 1:8, it says that, but you will receive what? But you will receive what? When what? The Holy Spirit comes upon you. What's the power for? Not to have a drink again? Not to drink Jack Daniels again? Not to smoke a joint again? Not to do crack again? Not to, you know, have an affair? Not to gamble? Not to, I don't know, whatever it was, whatever your hang up was before Jesus Christ, is that what the power is for? So that you just have the power not to have a drink? Good golly, that's infant power. That's basic, you know, Christianity 101. What? Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. The one that's in the world says, oh, you need this. God said, you don't need that. He said, be filled with the Spirit. Don't get drunk with the rest of them. Step aside, get filled with the Holy Ghost and power. This is what God wants for our lives. And so many are afraid of the Holy Ghost. He's God. The Holy Spirit is God. He said, I want to come and I want to live inside of you. Let me in. And then I'm going to use you in a way that you never dreamed of. Yeah, but Pastor, now you're getting a little bit crazy. Yep. I pray for a whole church full of crazy in Christ. Such as I have, they said. Matthew 10:1, Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal how many? Every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Wait a minute. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and he gave them authority. He gave them authority. He gave them authority to do all of those things. Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Right. So God wants you to build a bridge. He wants you to take the supernatural, bring it down into the natural world, watch the natural world get changed by the power of God through you. That's what we're supposed to be expressing on the earth. I'm not here to try to get along with everybody. That never happens. Does it? No, it doesn't happen. Jesus didn't get along with everybody. The disciples didn't get along with everybody. The 12 apostles and then the post-ascension apostles, they didn't get along with everybody because when the truth comes, people back away and they don't want all that God has promised. And in closing, Matthew 10:7-8 says, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. The only way we're going to do that and believe we can do that is when we walk in the Spirit. When we agree with the Spirit of God, when we agree with the Word of God that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen? When you believe that, we start to walk in that. There's a lot of miracles that are sitting here in the house. I believe God wants to do more. But he wants to do them through each and every one. Not one. Superman's dead. We all saw the movie. Right? He wants to use each and every single person here. And he said, all you have to do is believe. All you have to do is believe. Okay, won't you join me? All you have to do is
believe.
Right. See, it's not all I have to do. I believe, and I've watched God use me. But I believe that he wants to use every single person in here because that's what his word says. I believe that you're going to change somebody's life this week. I believe that the power of God in you is greater than anything in this world. Anything. I believe it. This morning, stand up. It's amazing how when we talk about the power of the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost, how things start to change in the atmosphere. I'm going to believe what the Word of God says, that God put angels around you. You believe that? Are you sure? You're crazy enough to believe that, but when it comes to the Holy Ghost, we back off. Isn't that something? That's what His Word says. Listen, we know God created heavens and the earth, and he came down and walked with Adam, and man fell. And God wanted a tabernacle with them, and he carried them for 40 years, and their clothes never wore out, right? And then Jesus came after the fullness of time, 400 years of dead silence, and the word of God wasn't proclaimed. And then Jesus came on the scene. Everything changed. He said, I'm going to give you a gift like you've never had before. And the church said, well, I don't know. Yeah, tell your neighbor, say, not me. See, this is about receiving the gift. And I don't know, maybe there's someone here. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost in the living room with my mom and Kathy, and I think Joan was there too, in a little bitty cottage.
when we first got, I got saved January 1st, 87. Can I tell you, your testimony changes people's lives. You need to share your testimony. David shared his testimony and people were like, holy mackerel, what is a testimony? Here's what God did and he's going to do it again. Amen. You see, you share your testimony, how you came out of darkness and somebody else gets the strength and the power to say, maybe that could work for me. Right? Healing, share your testimony. Why? God did it, and the testimony is he's willing to do it again. He's able to do it again. He desires to do it again. He's going to do it again. That's what a testimony proves. You're living proof of the power of love. Man, do you guys know how to love? You're good at it. We've got to be falling in love with the Word of God so strong that everything that's in there I want. And so this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity as my son plays. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says if you ask, you receive. That's it. And I don't know about you, but I need all I can get from God. I don't know about you. I don't want to leave nothing on the shelf. And I know where my mind and where my body has gone in the past long before Christ, and I don't want nothing to do with that. And as far as I went into darkness, and it was dark, I want to go even farther into the light. No matter what was used for the enemy one day, I want it all used for the Lord. Amen?